Thank you, Melanie. That was beautiful. So is everybody ready for Christmas? I didn't even get too many chuckles or anything. Yeah. Have you been shopping? Did you know, I was like running around and doing all the things. And how many of you have already been to a party for Christmas? Christmas parties, they start happening sooner and sooner because time goes quickly. And, you know, so there's just an awful lot that is a part of what we celebrate at this time, which we call that season of Christmas. And it invites us into wonderful experiences with friends, with family, with coworkers, with people out there in the stores that cut in front of the line and have 20 items instead of only 10, right? Anybody else? Yeah. I sort of, you know, it brings up stuff, doesn't it? It just does, because, you know, hey, we're human beings, right? And we know that there is a greater truth about us, though, that we are spiritual humanity, and yet we're living in this physical body, so we're, you know, we're in this schoolhouse, we're in this place of learning and growing and becoming. So today's Advent is the Advent of love, and my talk title is Love, the True Gift of the Season. The true gift of the season. And so I want to talk a little bit about love. I only get a few minutes really to talk about something I could talk about for an awful long time. Because there's so many aspects to understanding the activity of love in our lives and what it means to us and all the different levels. There's agape love, the love of everything in general and of community. There's interpersonal love when we have a relationship, a spouse, or love of our children. Love that we share amongst our friends. And then there is that greater love that is indefinable. That is the love that we call the activity of the presence of Godness, of God being, of that substance from which God created forth, created us. What greater experience of love could there be than to say, come forth and be with me and create together? And so as we take a look today at love, let us understand that unity embraces so many different teachers of wisdom and of light. And we acknowledge that there is no one path or a specific right way. That there are many ways, many truth principles to participate in. And yet Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, though they were some of the founding members of the AGNT, Association for Global New Thought, which is still in existence today, and other organizations back at its time that began exploring many different teachers, Buddha, Muhammad, mesmerism, you know, so many things they were looking at. And the Fillmores participated, and yet ultimately Charles said, and yet my heart comes back to and is always drawn to the teachings of Christ. And why he spoke about that and why we focus a great deal on Christ is because of all the avatars that we would call them, all of those beings who have walked light and teach us truth and who continue to this day. We have many, Deepak Chopra, Jean Houston, Eckhart Tolle, some others. Who are your favorites? Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, who else? Neil Donald Walsh, absolutely. So while people are continuing to walk in the light and bring this wisdom, Jesus walked in a way that I don't know of anyone else who walked in that light of love in the same way that taught us that love is the greatest of all things. And he wasn't speaking about the emotional love that we have, which is wonderful in its own right. And he wasn't speaking of that thinking love that we have. He was speaking of the love that we feel and experience when we have a connection in the depth of the heart of our being to one another and to divine, what Unity calls divine mind, which is not our intellectual mind, but the mind of our heart being, of the essence of who we are. In Matthew 22, the disciples were talking and asking Jesus what he felt, and he said, and actually I included, it's actually 37 through 39, I decided to include a little bit more this morning. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And in Deuteronomy, actually, this is a similar scripture statement, but there it says, "with all your strength." This is the first and the greatest commandment, to love God. And to understand that when it's saying with all your heart, with all your mind, with all that you are, it isn't to love something out there, some super being. It is to be in the experience of an open heart that feels and connects with all that is, with the planets, with the stars, with the animals, with the rocks, with the ocean, with the wind, with the snow. Did anybody go out and make snow angels today, yesterday? I was a little busy, so I didn't get a chance, but hey. So it's like, this is the greatest commandment. And we know that Moses came before Christ and spoke of the Ten Commandments, which are wonderful principles for life, because we know that Moses represents that ever-evolving spiritual humanity. So that was the beginning of that growth of and those life principles. Yet Jesus came and walked, oh my goodness, in that ultimate expression of unconditional love. And he spoke it so often, and he went on to say, this is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. And I've spoken this many times recently. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I keep reminding us, because we tend to hear, you shall love your neighbor, right? And then we sort of drop the as yourself part. Except what we realize and recognize is, how can we love anyone else? How can we send that light of higher awareness into our political arena, into challenges in the workplace, into family squabbles? How can we send that light of love or that consciousness of love into that unless we love ourselves first? Unless we love ourselves first. And in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And from Colossians, it loves everywhere in the Bible, it's wonderful. It says, Colossians 3:14, it says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And in 1 Corinthians, and of course many of us know the beautiful, it's used often in weddings, you know, when Paul wrote the letters to the church in Corinth, because he realized people were kind of getting off track and going astray. And he said, remember that love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't judge. And it says, let all that you do be done with love. Let all that you do. So friends, this is a time of the season to recognize we have this opportunity to not only have Christmas be about all the parties and all the shopping and all the things we do, but to recognize that this is a time of moving into the heart of our being, a time of healing and blessing, and it is a time where we start with ourselves in order to be there with others and to recognize and support everyone else's healing also. Charles Fillmore said in Talks on Truth, the love of God must be felt in the heart. It cannot be described. And one who has not felt it can have no concept from the description of others. But the more we talk about love, the stronger it grows in the consciousness. And if we persist in thinking loving thoughts and speaking loving words, we are sure to bring into our experience the feeling of that great love that is beyond description, the very love of God. That very love of God, this is the experience that Christ had, that Christ walked in order to teach us as a way shower, And some of scripture said, and it was misunderstood when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And people thought it was only through Christ. What Christ was referring to is the consciousness that I have laid a hold of and am sharing with you, that the presence of God is in and through all things, is the way and the truth and the life. And he walked it and exemplified it and was that very living light of love that was unconditional. And that we have an opportunity to experience as we are open to it this season. However, what happens when we kind of get busy wrapping all the gifts sometimes and thinking, oh man, I don't even know how to tie a bow. Anybody else tie their finger in there? You know, stuff happens and sometimes it's challenging, doesn't it? Kind of throws us off base. And what gets in the way of experiencing the true wonder of the season, that sense of love, are the places where we focus on just the outer world. Now, the outer world is wonderful. We want to participate in that. We want to be with each other. And yet what stops us from loving, what stops us from loving ourselves, what stops us from loving everybody else? Judgment, guilt, anger, resentment. Hurt feelings, right? Every one of us have some of that, not only towards others, but also towards ourselves, do we not? Because it is a part of being human that we react to things that people say. We may not even know what they said, but we certainly can make a story out of what we think they said. And then we can take a look at all the places where we feel we have done wrong or not lived up to. Who amongst us does not have some sense of maybe not being enough, of having made an error? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever made any mistakes. Where's Susan? Susan, have I ever made any mistakes? Not more than 5 or 10 every day. Yeah. You know, hey. You know, we just have to laugh a little bit about it because sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, we can be overwhelmed when we start looking at ourselves and judging and feeling we don't measure up. And then what happens? What do? Then we start judging everybody else too, right? Or sometimes we start there because it's more difficult to even look at how we're judging ourselves. So the thing that gets in the way of our experiencing this absolute unconditional love that is God already present, it's not something that we have to work for or be better in order to receive. It is present in us already. And what stops that are our judgments, are the ways that we feel, are the walls that we put up. From scripture, 1 John 2:9-11, it says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. And from 1 Corinthians 16, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. You know, loving takes strength, does it not? It takes choice. It takes a willingness to shift the attitudes, the fears, the doubts that we carry within, the constant voices, you know, that say, but yeah, man, that person did this to me, and yeah, it was 20 years ago, but ooh, you know? And we still hang on to those things, and we do. And so, or it may have been something that happened yesterday, and it may be a slight that's perceived. It may have been an actual aggression against us. However, the thing that keeps us stuck and without receiving the love that is ever present is when we focus on that. And it is the willingness to move into a place of forgiveness that allows us to be free. Now, friends, forgiveness doesn't mean we say, oh, sure, whatever you did, or even to ourselves in a circumstance, if we did something that we really feel is out of alignment, or someone doing something to us or a loved one. To forgive doesn't mean to say that that's fine. And we misunderstand that. See, the process of forgiveness is about recognizing that we are right here and right now, and the choice that we have is to let go of the burden that we carry of all those thoughts. To take a look at choices we might have made, to take a look at where we want to move forward. Forgiveness, though, is the process of allowing the love of God that transcends all things to move in and through us, to dispel the darkness of the weight of guilt and judgment and fear, to dispel that and to remind us of the greater truth that we are becoming and living into. And it is our option at any time, and we are in process. We are humans. If we have experienced an egregious wrong, it may take a full lifetime to move through that process of forgiveness. Yet it is something that as we are aware of and work towards, we are moving into the light and into the experience of love always. And it is knowing that we let go of the activity of the thoughts that continue to dwell on what was. And we embrace right now and make choices going forward. So during this time when sometimes we get so distracted from that experience of love, from understanding what is the true gift of Christmas, it's delightful when we find a present for somebody that we know that they will love, and we see their face light up when they open it. It's wonderful when perhaps we go and give of our time or serve somewhere or do something for someone in need, that we can really appreciate all of the outer activities of the season. But the greatest gift that we can give is that gift of love, and love goes hand in hand with forgiveness. You cannot have one without the other. Joshua Lothleben, who was a rabbi and a best-selling author, said, "We achieve inner health only through forgiveness. The forgiveness not only of others, but also of ourselves." And Mimi Novick, who was a therapist and a motivational author and a speaker, she said, "Peace within us starts when we learn to forgive and to let go, friends." So this gift of the season is one of making active choices to be aware of the places within us that are still seeking forgiveness, and the places where we also reach out to forgive others. Because it is only through that forgiveness that our hearts open and that love light can shine forth. And it's kind of, which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's sort of, that's why they're hand in hand. It's all sort of the process. It's an ongoing process. When we forgive, the space opens up and love can flow. And in order to forgive, we need to be open to the love of God that transcends anything that our minds can even conceive of. Many of you are familiar with Gary Zukav, a writer, a best-selling author. He says, "Eventually you will come to understand that love heals everything, and love is all there is." And Janice Mediter says, "Christmas is not as much about opening our presents as it is about opening our hearts." So friends, for this season and in this particular Advent Sunday of love, it is a time to open our hearts. It is a time to begin to let that love light that is non-judgmental, that is unconditional, move into our hearts to help us heal, that we may then let that love light shine forth and embrace the people in our lives who are important to us. Maybe you have someone who you haven't spoken to in a while. Maybe you felt slighted. Maybe you just haven't been in touch. You think, oh, gosh, I'd like to talk with them. Maybe it is someone who has made a transition and is on the other side. This is a time I will invite you through this next week to reach out in some way, whether it's to write a letter, whether it is to send a text or an email, send a card, or just sit and hold that person in your heart, inviting for all of you that time of healing, that time of connection, that time of sharing, knowing that you are reaching out. And this is our Sunday we call our Remembrance Tree Sunday. You will have noticed that you had a little heart with a little hanging gold thread in it, on it in your bulletin. If you did not, please raise your hand and our ushers will bring you an extra heart. Linda didn't get one. Yeah. Oh, and Martha did not either. Oh, and Barb didn't yet. So I want you to take a moment and to know that the remembrance tree is a tree of healing love. And perhaps you're missing someone who has passed away, who has made their transition, and you want to hold their name or maybe several people's names in your heart and recognize them and send them love. And you can write that name on that heart or those several names. And in a moment when we're finished, we'll have everyone come and put their heart on the tree. There may be someone that you have felt estranged from, and you wish to hold them in that light of love and that light of forgiveness and that light of healing. And if so, if you don't want to write their name, you can put their initials or just a little symbol so that you will know. Because this tree represents that sense of healing love. And it is a time for us to open up and to turn these names over into that presence of God. And it may be your name that you put on that heart, knowing that there is a part of you that seeks a healing or a sense of forgiveness or an openness. Or you may just want to celebrate the love that you do experience. So I'll give you just a few moments. We'll have some quiet music. And you can put on your heart whatever your heart leads you to write. And as you are ready then, feel free to come forward and put your heart on the tree. Thank you. And from Romans 8:39, it says, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And going on in Colossians, it says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And over all these virtues, put on love. And so as we embrace this week to come, let us know that sharing the light of love is the greatest gift we can give. Sharing the light of love is the greatest gift we can give. And I'll leave you with a quote from George F. McDougall. Best of all, Christmas means a spirit of love, a time when the love of God and the love of our fellow men should prevail over all hatred and bitterness. A time when our thoughts and deeds and the spirit of our lives manifest the presence of God. And W.C. Jones, an author, says, the joy of brightening others' lives, bearing each other's burdens, easing each other's loads, and supplanting empty hearts and lives with generous gifts of love becomes for us the magic of Christmas.